All right, welcome to a new episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are talking about the remake of Child's Play, the killer doll horror movie starring everyone's favorite doll, Chucky. Is a fun little remake that, you know, it doesn't do everything right, but it certainly has enough going for it that it is a pretty fun little movie. And with me for the episode, first-time co-host Adam Wells, who is an old friend of mine from years and years and years ago. We went to summer camp together, and he's a member of our Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces Facebook group, and so we've been chatting about movies in there and figured he would be a great guest to have on the show. And we had a great conversation about Child's Play. So before we get into that conversation, I do want to remind you to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, a whole bunch of other apps. We're on like dozens of apps. And if you listen to podcasts on an app that we're not on, let us know and we will get on that app. We want to be wherever you're listening to podcasts. You can also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join that Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group I was just talking about. And share the show with your friends. That would be awesome. So I think that's enough for right now. Why don't we jump into this conversation about the new remake of Child's Play? All right, so today on the show, we've got a little bit of a blast from the past in subject matter, as well as my co-host, first time on the show. We've got with us a friend of mine. I haven't seen him in like 25 years or something like that since we used to go to Jew camp together. Everybody, Adam Wells is with us on the show. Adam, hey, it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here, Dave. Hello, movie fans out there. hoping to put on a good show for you guys.
This is going to be fun. Adam is a member of our Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group, and I think I've talked to him more in the last year than I talked to him in 25 years of, you know, maybe a catch up here and there. But now we get to talk about movies all the time, so it's kind of awesome.
Well, I mean, that's the wonderful thing about Facebook and, you know, a lot of these other programs and things like that, is that instead of talking to myself about movies and just throwing it out, I can connect with other social-minded film nerds like myself and you, sure, and, you know, get into deep discussions or, you know, toxic fandom.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. There's plenty of that.
I know. It really depends on which, you know, what day of the week you're looking for what.
So, you know, it's your first time on the show, as I usually do. I like to have people tell people a little about themselves. So other than being someone who went to Jew camp, who are you, Adam Wells?
Who is Adam Wells? That's the question of the day. Well, for profession right now, I am an insurance broker, and you're probably wondering, what type of expert does that make me on film? Well, in that respect, none. I'm a big cinephile, which I believe you could still use in a proper context now, and people sure don't get weirded out.
We'll allow it.
Okay, good. Went to film school, worked on film sets, realized it wasn't for me, but, you know, I watch a ton of movies. I read a lot of different subject matters on old films, new films, you know, and I just overall love discussing film. It's a passion. It's a fun topic.
That's awesome. I mean, you know, yeah, as far as like, you know, even for me, like I compose music for film, but I'm not really a filmmaker. And so it's like, I really just come to this as a, you know, a lover of film. And, you know, it's just a great way to, you know, have an in-depth conversation about movies. And it's great to have all different kinds of voices on this show, you know?
It is. I mean, you know, I've been listening to some of the other episodes, and, you know, I really do like a lot of the different areas that people are coming from and how they view it. And it also gives, you know, me a fresh perspective, because if I didn't view it a couple of times watching it in one way, and I get to hear somebody else's opinion and I get to look at it from their point of view, you know, sometimes that actually does open my eyes a bit. And I sometimes enjoy it even more because, you know, somebody else was able to leave the door open and I was, you know, got a different perspective from it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, let's talk about some perspective. You are, I believe you're a pretty big horror movie fan. I kind of get that from the group. And Child's Play is just one of these classic properties in the history of horror movie characters. And here we are with a new one, a full-on reboot, which, as we know, the creator of Child's Play, I believe, is still out there trying to make more, continuing the story, but this has been kind of taken away from him, and it's a whole new take on the character and the idea.
Well, I think there's a lot of, basically from what I've read, is that it boils down to a rights issue. Don Mancini, who was the original screenwriter, along with producer David Kirshner, I think 10 years ago wanted to do their own reboot. However, because the first Child's Play rights were locked up with MGM, they couldn't reboot the first one. They can only continue with the sequels at Universal. So while Don Mancini and company have been continuing with their Child's Play series, I think they've gotten up to 7 of them. and they're even doing a TV show that I'm looking forward to. I think it's a bit of a sore subject because Don Mancini had his view of how the movie should be remade, and the powers that be had another view. I myself, just a little background on in regards to my feelings about Chucky. Child's Play was one of the first horror movies. Actually, no, sorry, was the first horror movie that I had ever watched. Yeah, growing up as a spoiled kid in Long Island, I had a television and cable in my bedroom, which, you know, if you talk about that now, that doesn't sound like much, but we're also talking about the late 80s when a lot of people didn't even have cable. So, of course, you know, I'm a 8-9-year-old, you know, spoiled kid with a TV and cable in my room. Yeah. And of course, when that happens and your parents tell you to go to bed, what is the first thing you do? You don't listen to them. You turn on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
So I turned on, I believe it was HBO, and the climax of Child's Play, was on television. And
you got the good part.
Oh yeah. And I actually still had dolls at the time. And that movie frightened me so much, that I actually took all the toys on my bed, I believe, including, Teddy Ruxpin and Cabbage Patch kids, which were the inspiration, you know, and threw them in the closet because I'm thinking that I'm going to sleep tonight and they're going to kill me. You know, the imagination of an 8-9-year-old.
Sure.
What do I know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I probably didn't really watch the Child's Play movies for another 2 or 3 years. And, you know, it's since you mentioned, you know, Jew Camp, I do remember that you and I had actually spoken about Child's Play too. And I almost vaguely remember you trying to like freak me out a little bit with a postcard your mom sent you of Chucky as a good guy doll.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That is absolutely wild. And as we know, my memory is absolutely horrible and I don't remember that at all, but that does seem potentially possible. Maybe.
I mean, awesome. It's weird that I actually do remember some of these like weird memories from camp, but I couldn't tell you what I ate for dinner 3 nights ago. It's the random stuff that I can remember, including just random movie knowledge. It's very, my mind works in weird ways.
So before we get into some puzzle pieces on this new Child's Play, I do want to ask you one other question about this series. And that is, have you seen all of these movies? Because I don't know which ones I've seen. I've seen, you know, some. I doubt all. I certainly not the most recent ones. But, you know, I'm sure I saw the original. I remember Bride of Chucky. I think I saw the second, maybe the third.
I have seen all the movies. I own all the movies in various different, some various formats. I think I have one or two of them on Blu-ray and the rest on DVD somewhere. In preparation to go to see this movie, it was kind of like, should I watch a couple of bad horror reboots to kind of lower my expectations or just rewatch all the Child's Play movies? And, you know, I went with the rewatching all 7 Child's Play movies in about a 3 or 4 day period.
Oh, we got an expert on our hands, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I'm not sure. I thought I was an expert, but I believe one of our friends on the Popcorn and Puzzles actually has the one thing that my fiance won't let me have, which is the 1-to-1 scale replica of a Chucky doll from Child's Play 2. When I saw that they were making that, I was like, Carrie, can I please get this? And she's like, whenever we buy a house and you want to have your man cave, then you can buy Chucky and put him down there, because I'm just going to freak out if I find him sitting in a chair when I come home.
And rest assured, he will be in a chair, whether it's him doing it or you doing it. It's going to happen.
Listen, I love my fiance, but absolutely would I spook her with the doll. I would just randomly put the doll in different places every day.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous. Well, why don't we get into some puzzle pieces for this new Child's Play reboot? What do you got for your first one?
So when thinking about this, I really wanted to try and stay away from a lot of obvious movies. You know, I didn't want to throw in any of the previous Child's Play movies, not because it obviously it was the inspiration for the reboot, but this reboot is so different from the original series that, you know, other than the basic concept, you know, a killer doll named Chucky and the characters' names and some of their occupations being similar, this movie goes in a completely and very entertaining direction.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a great movie, but it was a pleasant surprise that they took a lot of, at least I felt they took a lot of chances. They tried to make it a little different. They didn't succeed in a lot of places, but you know what? I was pleasantly surprised, and I had a good time, which I think is the most important thing. So the first movie I'm going to throw out is Steven Spielberg's AI, which, you know, the idea of can a robot or artificial intelligence love? Can it have feeling? You know, you get a lot of that in the first act of the new Child's Play, because Chucky almost is kind of like a tragic figure in a way that he just wants he himself wants a friend. He just wants to play. He's not intentionally psycho. It's kind of, you know, he learns this almost as a child that would be exposed to random violence, that you have to teach him. You can't just assume that, you know, smart technology is really smart.
Right. Right.
You know, so I found a lot of that with AI and the imprinting between the robot and the mother in AI.
Sure.
You know, they form a real connection.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's almost a funny, you know, twist on like the nurture versus nature thing. And like the idea that, you know, that this, you go into the movie expecting, you know, a killer doll, but he's not really a killer doll, even with his, you know, safety protocols all switched off in the beginning and all that kind of stuff. He still, with his own, you know, his own, I guess, what do you call it? You don't call it his own, you know, desires or whatever, but he's not just walking into the room and like, I want to just kill everybody. He just wants to be loved and be liked and do things for his owners and make them happy. And he just gets led astray, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, yes, the climax of the movie does go quote unquote, according to plan, but
it has to.
Yeah. I mean, and there's some ideas I'll throw in later, because especially with Teddy Ruxpin, you know, I kind of like the spoil alert for anybody out there, but there is a scene at the end where other dolls come to life, and one of them happens to be a bear version of of Chucky. And I was kind of like, wow, they finally made Teddy Ruxpin evil. That scares me.
It's all coming full circle.
It is.
Well, I think AI is a great puzzle piece. And yeah, I think those are some of the most interesting themes in the movie. And I do kind of wish that it did more with them. But I mean, it's definitely an interesting take. And I wouldn't have expected it from the Child's Play remake.
I mean, neither did I. Because, you know, from the timeline of when this movie was announced to when they started shooting seemed so rushed. It's kind of like, I was surprised that they actually had this kind of, some of these great ideas. I just thought this was going to be another, you know, Fog remake or Nightmare on Elm Street, like one of those where it's like you just take the, you know, almost like a remix of a bunch of different ideas and just throw it at a wall and see what sticks.
Sure. Yeah. They'll show up because of Chucky and the rest of it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go with another puzzle piece, and it kind of builds off of what you were just talking about with the whole the AI thing, but kind of going to the next step of what's happening within the movie. This is the first one that came to mind while I was watching it, and that is Chappie, which is a love it or hate it movie. I happen to love it, but it's a movie from Neil Blomkamp that deals with this AI robot that is found by these, like, you know, like thug rapper dudes, and which of course is Die Antwoord. Mm-hmm. And they kind of teach it to do all this shitty shit and, you know, be a kind of a loser gangsta type character. But the people are responsible for turning Chucky into what he becomes, into the killer doll that he becomes in this version of the Child's Play story. And I thought it was an interesting parallel that, you know, that he gets taught these things. And, you know, we're just talking about that with AI, but yeah, again, Chappie being the continuation of what happens within the story.
Well, I feel like there've been a lot of movies in regards to the idea of, you know, kind of teaching the bad nature towards the technology. And you know, another puzzle piece that I bring up and has been brought up in a couple of your other podcasts is Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a moment towards the middle of the film also where John Connor has to teach the robot pretty much how to be more human. Now, sure, the robot doesn't understand what he's doing. He's just kind of mimicking his creator's movements and what he wants to do. And again, that kind of goes into, you know, what we were talking about with AI and Chappie. It's just, you know, smart technology that really still has to be taught what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It even has the line, you know, you can't kill anybody, you know, that's right in there.
Exactly. And, you know, and when I go back to T2, I keep thinking to myself, imagine what would happen if after the T-1000 is melted and Schwarzenegger turns to Edward Furlong and says, you know what? I'm not going to melt myself down. I'm actually going to protect you for the rest of your life. And John Connor turns to him and be like, nah, I got my mom here. Listen, here's my email. If you want to hit me up on Instagram, that's great, but we're going to go this way. And, you know, we'll catch up and get coffee at another time.
That brings up an interesting question. The Terminator's from the future. Does he have an email address?
I mean, I guess before Skynet blew us all to hell and, you know, the, electromagnetic pulse from all the nuclear weapons, shut down everything, but that's very complicated timeline. And I'm just going to get a headache from that.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good point.
either that, or we're just going to spend the entire podcast talking about what if,
what if? Can happen. That can happen very, very easily. is Terminator 2 your puzzle piece then?
Yes, T2 is a puzzle piece.
Beautiful. Well, then I'm going to go on to another one then. And this one might be a little bit of a stretch, but my next puzzle piece is actually King Kong.
Ooh.
And the reason I bring King Kong up is because he's this character, you know, it kind of continues what we're just saying there, but he's this character who's just kind of out of his element and he doesn't mean to do bad, but humans just keep pushing him and they keep pushing him. And, you know, like you said, Chucky is a tragic figure in this story. And, you know, he certainly doesn't set out to do evil. He just gets pushed in that direction. And then, you know, maybe his circuits weren't really, you know, set in the right direction to begin with, but he maybe wasn't ever going to cause any kind of damage or cause any trouble if, you know, people hadn't gotten in the way and made it that way. And that reminded me of the classic King Kong story.
Well, you know what? That's a very good point. I didn't even think of that. That went right over my head to not even think of that. That's a very good, very good point.
Hey, glad you like it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go to one more obvious one before I go to an obscure one.
Okay.
iRobot.
Hmm.
Now, the idea that robots are produced for mass consumerism to help with essentially everyday living and everyday chores. Essentially, that's kind of what the quote unquote buddy doll, not the good guy in this case, the buddy doll was created for, was created to, you know, to be a learning tool for children and to essentially, you know, in some ways assist families with everyday chores.
Sure.
You know, I'm not exactly sure why, what company out there, whether it be Amazon, Google, Apple, or Caslin in this movie calls it, why would anybody let a children's doll be able to control your car as well as the heating and air conditioning in your house?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, this movie exists in a world where, you know, horror movies clearly exist, but I'm guessing Child's Play didn't exist because people are not prepared for killer dolls whatsoever.
It's not even that. It's just, this is a world where apparently this Caslin company has a monopoly on everything because this buddy doll can hack into pretty much every, like, electronic product, which I guess every electronic product also had to have their safety features turned off. Not sure how that happened. you know, because
and
I understand.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. I mean, so we're even. I'm not exactly sure. Like, you know, there's a scene where Chucky somehow magically controls a car through the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
I guess not magically, technology.
I think that happened in a Fast and Furious movie too, where they just all of a sudden they were able to control every car. Like, what?
I mean, the Fast and Furious movies, I think, kind of, you know, kind of lost believability somewhere halfway through the first one.
Yeah, probably pretty much.
I mean, listen, I'd love to see a Maserati jump from skyscraper to skyscraper in Dubai. I don't think it's possible, but it did happen in a Fast and Furious movie. So,
well, then it must be possible.
Listen. If global warming's a thing, so must be gravity. But that's another conversation for another time, kids. But yeah, I'm not exactly sure what company not only has a hold on everything, because every product is by this Caslin company. That the stall could just easily just hack into things.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of, you know, it, this product, it's mass produced. It helps with everyday life. It's supposed to be more, it's supposed to be more of a helpful tool than kind of a pain in the neck, which is what it really turns out to be. And that's kind of what the movie version of iRobot was, where it's essentially, you know, this product, everybody has it. It's so useful to everybody. Why would you not have it? You know, because eventually what happens if your robot goes bad?
Yeah. Sounds like iRobot, which I actually don't think I ever ended up seeing, but it sounds like it was like a decade too early. That would do really well now.
It actually wasn't as bad of a movie as I thought it was, and it's not too Will Smith jokey.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I saw that Alex Proyas, who a big fan of his in the 90s with The Crow and Dark City, you know, when I saw he was doing it, I was like, you know what? He's a very visionary, very smart director. I'm actually interested to see what happens here.
Sure.
And, you know, you hear about it later that script rewrites and producers have one thing to say and the director has something else to say, and it never really turned into what it was supposed to be. And then, you know, the next thing you know, you're Alex Proyas doing another movie with Nick Cage where he's just screaming at something.
Didn't he do Gods in Egypt too?
Oh, he did that too. I was thinking of Knowing, but yes, okay. He did do Gods in Egypt. Gods in Egypt. And listen, I understand why some directors might get frustrated at critics that just blast movies for no reason. But if you're listening, Mr. Proyas, and I'm sure you're not, but if you are, Gods of Egypt was terrible. I'm sorry. It was. You gave it your best shot. Thank you. But now this one's on you, man.
It made for a good How Did This Get Made episode, though. So, you know what? I'm just going to piggyback right off what you're saying there with iRobot, because I have a puzzle piece that's not a movie, and this would be a good time to bring it up. And that is, now, before I say it, I should say also that I could have potentially brought up Jordan Peele's Us, but it's obviously too new to truly be an inspiration. But Jordan Peele's Us did use the Amazon Alexa to some effect in the horror world through those little scenes of it. And so I was just thinking of the Amazon Alexa as a product, which I think is the main real life version of what Kazlan was doing, is Amazon and all their connected products and their security stuff and all that. And, you know, I think it's it. Again, we were talking earlier about how it's kind of surprising that a Child's Play remake of all things would, you know, have big themes, you know, everything involved with Chucky. But it's kind of surprising it would even attempt to take on something as big as, this whole modern connected world that we've got. I mean, on the surface, it seems like a pretty obvious choice, but, you know, to actually even try to give it any thought and, you know, try to do something with it and actually make it more than just a, you know, very, very surface level thing is very difficult. I don't know that it, 100% succeeded at trying to do it, but it at least was trying.
You know what? It doesn't 100% succeed. And you know what? It may not have even 50% succeeded, but you know what? I would rather see a reboot take the core idea, do something different with it, and fail versus remake the last version of that movie.
Almost, right, because we already have that.
You know, exactly. And I think of a movie like the remake of The Hills Have Eyes, which a lot of people loved. Mm. And while it's gorier and it's glossier looking, the dialogue's exactly the same. The kills are exactly the same. The plot, the story, everything unfolds exactly the same. Mm. What was the point of making it then?
Yeah.
I feel like the best remakes are the ones that just take those core ideas and just make their own thing of it, whether it be Evil Dead, Cronenberg's The Fly, you know, Dawn of the Dead. Yes, I did throw at something positive about Zack Snyder. I know somebody out there is going to be very happy about that. But I will say that was a very good movie he made. You know, and John Carpenter's The Thing. Mm-hmm. You know, those, you know, they are very different than the movies that they're based off of. I mean, even Scarface is very different than the Paul Muni version.
Sure. Absolutely.
So, again, I would rather see a movie try something different. And even if it fails, at least it was trying to do something different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. At least it's freaking trying.
Absolutely. So here I will go with a bit of an obscure one from the 1990s. Rachel Talalay's Ghost in the Machine.
Okay.
Which came out around the time of Lawnmower Man and a lot of those other fear, VR, computers, and other technology. Ghost in the Machine actually would be the perfect child for the original Child's Play movies and this Child's Play movie. If they had a baby,
right,
Ghost in the Machine would actually be perfect, because it's about a serial killer that somehow gets his soul zapped into the internet and uses everyday household items to kill people. He even, I believe there's a kill in the movie where the dishwasher overflows, and the babysitter stepping in the water, and then the dishwasher, you know, electrocutes her.
Oh, that's awesome. That rocks.
Yes. little weird movie knowledge. The babysitter that got killed in that scene, was actually the lead actress from Leprechaun 2. If anybody has ever seen it other than myself, there you go. Siobhan Durkin, I think. I told you, wow. I just am full of useless information.
Yeah, I'm learning something. I'm learning a lot of things during this episode. Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah, that sounds like a perfect example, though, of, you know, the like, it seriously does kind of bridge together the ideas of both the original Child's Play and this Child's Play, like, combined into one movie, almost.
Yes. However, Ghost in the Machine fails more than the remake of Child's Play and some of the other sequels. I mean,
I'd imagine so.
It's one of those movies where, you know, it was a Friday night, you're, you know, 13, 14 years old, go to the movie store. Well, I've seen this horror movie, this horror movie, this horror movie. Well, this is new.
Well, okay. Oh, what's this one?
Yeah, what's this one?
I'm looking at
Karen Allen from
the
Indiana Jones.
Right,
absolutely.
Yeah, right? I'm looking at the poster right now online, and it's a great poster. Fantastic work.
Yes. And if anybody remembers who Rachel Talalay is, well, I mean, she's directed a lot of CW television shows, but she's probably most known for working with John Waters. She directed and wrote part of Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, as well as one of the original comic book bombs, Tank Girl.
Girl. Look at that.
Yeah.
Damn. Tank Girl's gotten a big cult following over the years, though, hasn't it?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's, you know, you don't take it seriously, but it's actually a lot of fun. It's actually an interesting cast, too.
Yeah, damn, she has a nice little cult filmography here. I'm just scrolling through it real quick. But that's a great puzzle piece, though. I'm going to go, so I like that you've got these deep cuts, because I have two more puzzle pieces as we go through this, and they're both like fairly recent, like mainstream major movies. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you've got us covered. So the next one I'm going to bring up, I've got a couple of different reasons for bringing it up, but it is the recent remake of Stephen King's It.
I was going to throw that in at one point also. I think
absolutely.
I think you and I are probably going to end thinking on the same page here, but go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a few things. I mean, first of all, funny, ultra gory horror, it hasn't been a thing for a while, but it was that. And I think Child's Play does it as well. And, you know, I used to love these kind of movies. I mean, everybody knows like the Evil Dead series are like, you know, some of my favorite movies, and you don't get a lot of like funny, gory, over the top horror anymore. And so I think it kind of opened a door for that, for hopefully we're going to get more stuff like that. And Child's Play, you know, clearly is one of them. Also, it just being a remake of an old, you know, horror property, which, you know, of course, once it was the biggest R-rated opening, I think, of all time, maybe, it probably opened the floodgates. But also, of course, another major reason is the focus on, Andy's friends. And, you know, they're kind of like a little misfit group of friends, just like what are they called? The Losers Club. Yeah, Losers Club. It's just kind of like that similar thing. You could almost also point to like a Stranger Things as a version of that puzzle piece as well. It's like a very popular thing now to have that group of like, you know, kids that are like all kind of misfits, you know, and then they get thrust into this insane situation.
I absolutely agree. That is where I was going with that. You could even take it a bit step further where it's almost Spielbergian. To a degree where, you know, the kids kind of group together to, you know, to fight the foe, whether it have been E.T., Goonies in a way, even though it's not Spielberg, or the Spielberg-inspired Super 8.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, those type of movies. And to tell you the truth, I liked that. That was also one of the other ideas that I liked, which I wish they took a little bit further, of, you know, him having that core group of friends and them all teaming up to kind of defeat Chucky. I kind of wish they did more with that, because you're so used to that final character, most of the time in horror movies that they teach you, it's the final female, you know, in some cases, you know, it is a male, but that final character, there's always that one-on-one battle to defeat, the person that has, you know, essentially been, you know, chasing you and trying to kill you during the entire movie. You know, it's nice every once in a while when you get a group of people to work as a team to defeat the enemy.
Yeah, it is. It's fun, and it gives for a lot of fun, you know, personalities, and, you know, there's a lot of comedy to mine from that as well, which, you know, I think that's part of the Spielberg influence as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think that was done intentionally, trying to make it very 80s Spielbergian, you know, Chris Columbus type of relationship amongst the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you got for your next one?
I have one more major movie. However, I'm going to throw out one that this is from a movie, but I guess this is also a gripe about modern horror tropes.
Okay.
Which is, so one of the things about modern horror tropes that I really just don't like, is that when they introduce a character, they give him you know, there's a trait or a disability that really doesn't serve a purpose.
Mm.
You know, so the idea of making Andy in this film deaf,
right.
There's no real purpose to it. I guess the idea is supposed to make him more sympathetic, even though he's clearly a loner, doesn't have the best living situation. You're already kind of sympathetic for him. You know, and the thing that came to my mind, and this is going to sound really weird, was Rocky IV. Now, not actually the movie Rocky IV, but have you ever heard the story about the bit with the robot in Rocky IV?
Yeah, no, what is the story?
So the story with the robot was Sylvester Stallone saw that this robot was actually used to help autistic kids, you know, pretty much function in class. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, 30 years ago, so a lot has changed since. You know, essentially introducing this type of technology to assist, you know, people with disabilities, which was an idea that I wish they did put in the movie and maybe would have worked if they'd made, and if they really needed to give Andy a disability to make him autistic and then kind of have this as a helpful teaching tool to help him cope, you know, and would have also kind of built on the attachment issue between them, because Chucky is clearly attached to him, but Andy, once he gets friends, is no longer attached. You know, it would have been an interesting thing if they had this real attachment issue, because they both really needed each other throughout the movie with a situation like that.
Mm.
However, that didn't actually happen in the movie, and this probably has absolutely nothing to do with anything. It just would have been a wish list.
Sure. No, I totally understand. And that totally sounds like something that Stallone would do too, is wanting to like incorporate something like that into the movie. But yeah, no, I totally agree though. Like a lot of modern horror movies do seem to do that, where, you know, every one of the main kids has to have some kind of, you know, some kind of disability or something that, you know, just supposed to add to, the sympathizing. But yeah, I mean, the kid's already, you know, has a tough go of it as it is.
Yeah, so it, you know, to make him have, you know, hearing issues, it doesn't really come into play. He's already sympathetic. It's kind of like, why do we need this? It's like the cowboy hat in the Halloween rebuquel. The mayor's walking around with a cowboy hat on for no real reason.
Like, no reason.
You're in kind of like the suburbs of Chicago. It's not really, you know, farm country.
Well, you to tie it all together, pretty soon we've got Rambo 5 coming out, and we got Rambo with a cowboy hat. So, yeah. So.
Oh, Stallone. You're making all my dreams come true tonight.
Oh, man. Well, before we talk about more of our beloved heroes with cowboy hats on, yes. I have one more puzzle piece, and this is one of those situations, this has come up on the show a couple times here and there, where we're talking about a remake, and a movie that was definitely inspired by the original, I think, inspired the remake itself. Kind of a cyclical thing there. But I am bringing up the Annabelle movies, as well as any other of the recent crop of creepy doll movies. Obviously, they, you know, handle it in a very different way. Those are, you know, ghost stories, basically, whereas this is like a straight-up slasher horror film. However, there is just, you know, such a huge renewed interest in creepy dolls because of the Annabelle movies, and I think that probably had somewhat of an inspiration on the production of this, on, you know, the idea of, well, we need to make more creepy doll movies. What's an idea we can have? Oh, why don't we go back to Chucky? Let's get back to Chucky and let's do this, you know?
I mean, it is possible. I personally don't really see the connection, only because, you know, Annabelle, while yes, with the creepy doll aspect, but Annabelle is never really alive.
Sure.
She's never really a living being, whether it be a soul of a person or AI. It almost seems like it's just a vessel, you know, almost a doorway for other spooky ghosts and goblins to eventually, you know, invade that space of whoever the main characters are to terrorize them.
Totally.
You know, I mean, while that, you know, the Annabelle doll is extremely creepy and very frightening. Mm. Actually, I should probably get one of those for the man cave. That'll really frighten my fiance. You know, I guess, you know, as much as that could be an inspiration, as much as, you know, the Full Moon Puppet Master movies, which I think you and I actually spoke about once before, as it was, the new one was free on Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah, and I still haven't watched it. I bought it for free, and I got to watch that. And I know Tom Lennon wrote it. I love him, so...
I do too.
I gotta watch it.
I got about 5 or 10 minutes into it. I got to Udo Kier's cameo, and that was pretty much as far as I've gotten into it. not that I'm done. I do want to watch it. I just so many movies, so much content, so little time.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. But you know, back to the puzzle piece. One more note is I think that you're absolutely right in what you're saying about Annabelle as a character and as a story. It like doesn't fit the mold, but I think it's more of as a Hollywood seeing dollar signs inspiration.
Well, I mean, you know, that was another conversation. You know what? Why? You know, clearly it's based on one person's perspective. If the original was done properly, that it doesn't need a remake or doesn't warrant it. You know, that is everybody's perspective. But again, the fact that that property is already out there, you really don't have to do that much to kind of rework the script other than to, you know, try to update it.
Sure.
Sometimes it works and sometimes you end up with Gus Van Sant's Psycho, but that's again, you know what, money talks and that's just what we end up with.
Absolutely. So what do you got for your next puzzle piece?
So my last puzzle piece was, you know, is a big film from a few years ago and is a superhero film, Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, okay.
When you think about early on in the film, how Ultron starts learning about humanity and essentially, you know, mistakens peace in our time is only done through violence.
Mm-hmm.
Is almost where Chucky kind of starts to, you know, to figure out, you know, I can achieve my goals through violence after watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what his behavior would have been if he had watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation. But if Chucky started doing an impersonation of Matthew McConaughey, just screaming in this random kitchen.
I want that movie so bad right now.
Now that I think about it, I think, I don't know, how much does it cost to make a movie?
Anybody listening right now, we're starting an Indiegogo campaign like right now. Yes, we want to make this theoretical movie.
Yes, we do. We need more Matthew McConaughey just going nuts for no real reason other than to chew scenery and hopefully with Killer Doll.
Oh my God. Now I want to talk about Serenity for an hour.
You know what? I have to watch it and then I want to talk about it. I unfortunately read the Wikipedia page, so I know what happens.
Oh, you know, it doesn't matter. It's still,
it doesn't
amazing.
Do it justice.
No, it's okay. So good. It's so good. Please watch it and we'll talk about it one of these days.
Absolutely. I love a good, bad horror, a good, bad movie. Any chance I can get sometimes.
Oh, and it is the best bad movie of the year. That's for sure.
And then also just to add in, you know, later in the movie, Ultron transfers his consciousness into other clones of him, which essentially does happen at the end where you've got, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, Chucky, African-American Chucky, and Bear Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we covered all the bases in regards to doll race relations.
Well, let's not forget also Irish Chucky.
Well, you know, this took place in a toy store, not the Blarney Stone. Otherwise, you know, I mean
it was a good Easter egg. It was fun.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I really just want to see the sequel focus on the bear doll. Just this crazy bear doll running. Actually, that sounds like another Full Moon. If you've ever seen the movie Demonic Toys. Another one.
Oh, I think I did back in the day.
Yeah. I think there was a killer bear.
Nice.
And a killer Betsy Wetsy.
First time the phrase Betsy Wetsy, or Killer Betsy Wetsy, I should say, has been uttered on this show.
Well, that's two first times today. We have, haven't spoken to this kid from Jew Camp in 25 years, and Killer Betsy Wetsy.
There we go. Well, why don't we do the finished puzzle, and then we'll get into any of our closing thoughts on Child's Play. So the finished puzzle, all the movies that we just talked about, includes AI, Chappie, Terminator 2, King Kong, iRobot, Ghost in the Machine, Rocky IV, Annabelle, and Avengers Age of Ultron. So
it's a very diverse filmography right there.
It sure is.
We've got a little everything.
Yeah. The funny thing is, at least at the beginning of the conversation, we were getting a lot of tragedy and a lot of classic tragedy influencing a Chucky movie, which is pretty interesting. But wrapping this thing up, I mean, overall, I mean, I know you liked the movie. I liked it too. I think you might have liked it a little more than me. We kind of talked before we started, but overall, I do think that it was, about more successful, I'd say, than I would have expected.
I absolutely agree. I think it was more successful. I think it was trying to do a lot more than some of the other remakes and in other horror movies out there. I mean, not Hereditary. We know that can't be touched.
Sure.
But basic horror movies, slasher films, it definitely tried to do something very different with it, other than, let's say the rebuquel of Halloween, where it's essentially kind of sequelizing the first Halloween by remaking Halloween H2O. But really kind of take out all the real strong feminism in a way.
It really did. I could talk about that for a while too. Like, it really, I don't understand how people think it had a lot of strong feminism. It doesn't make sense to me.
It started off in a way of, she wants to fight back against her aggressor who's been chasing her entire life. But unlike H2O, she never really gets that moment.
Yeah, it never
to kind
pays
of
off.
Really become the stalker, and he should become the prey.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it was headed, and just they never do it. I'm getting annoyed at that movie right now.
Why is it on? Is it on your TV? I think it was on mine while we were actually having this conversation.
No.
But if you take anything away from the Halloween rebuquel, the score is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'll give it that at least. And speaking of which, this had some good music in it as well. Pretty good score. I don't have the composer's name at hand, but pretty good score.
I believe, I think his name is Bear McCreedy.
Oh, was it Bear McCreedy that did this one? Oh, I
it
didn't
was.
Know that. Yeah, I love his scores. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me then. Wow.
Mean, some of the music was good. The idea of kind of using a toy orchestra. Very similar to Joe DeLuca's score of Curse of Chucky, and Graham Revall's main theme of Child's Play 2, that all kind of used the, kind of the tinkered, the child's piano, and kind of that is child xylophone, to make the score. So, I mean, it is a good theme, but it is, it had been done before in the series.
Yeah, you kind of have to, though, with like when you're dealing with a killer doll, it's kind of necessary. I've even done it once before in my music composing career where I scored a killer doll movie. So,
you're in the killer doll business too, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Next, when we get our sequel with Matthew McConaughey going, I'm looking forward to scoring that one.
I just want to see the toy Matthew McConaughey just with his little shotgun. Going me or however that scene went in Texas Chainsaw Next Generation.
Fantastic.
I haven't seen that in a while. I don't want to.
Well, I think that about does it for Child's Play. Adam, as I always do, I ask my guests if they have a recent movie that they've watched that they'd like to recommend.
You know what? Here's one. I finally got to sit down and watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Nice.
And I loved it. I thought the animation was great. The characters were well done. Like, everything about it just seemed just really well done and much smarter than almost had any right to be. You know, the kind of that age of those smart cartoon movies, you know, whether it been Batman Mask of the Phantasm, you know, you really don't see a lot of that stuff anymore. And this just reminded me of that night. And I also really just admired the animation for it. I just thought it was so well done.
Yeah, such a cool movie. And, like, great message to it, great action to it. I mean, it's a lot of all the actors that do the voices, like, some really great performances. I mean, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Great movie.
I mean, I was going to say Rocket Man, but I feel like, I mean, everybody said wonderful things about Rocket Man. I could add to it, but I'll think of something else.
Yeah.
So there we ended up with Spider-Man.
Right on. Well, hey, this has been great. Adam, is there anything you want to plug? Anything out there?
Well, I'm an East Coast insurance broker, so I really don't want to plug that. And I'm not on Twitter, but if you are looking to contact me or you heard this podcast and you just want to tell me how terrible I am and awful and I should stop talking about movies, contact Dave. Dave will tell you where to find me, or on the group chat, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces.
There you go.
You know, you can find me there and curse me out all you like. I don't take offense to it.
Well, this was great, Adam. Let's talk again over a actual audio conversation sometime before another 25 years. Does that sound like a good plan?
Oh, absolutely. Maybe at some point before, you know, I get married, maybe I'll end up in Vegas. And hopefully we could sit down and have a cup of coffee or grab a bite to eat.
Go see a movie.
Go to a movie. say hi to the parents who I haven't seen Sonny and Dick in a long time.
I told them that we were doing this today, and they're like, "Oh wow, that's insane!"
Again, like, the power of Facebook. If it wasn't for Facebook, it might not be until 50 years we speak again.
Well, yeah, this was great. I'm really glad to have you on.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime. Hopefully we'll get to do it again.
Hey, I'm Josh Bell.
I'm Jason Harris. Hey, Josh, we're friends in real life, but we're also co-hosts on this new podcast called
Awesome Movie Year, where we take a look back at an awesome year for movies and do a deep dive looking at movies, including the Best Picture winner, the biggest movie at the box office, future cult classics, and more.
Including the biggest flop. And this season, we're doing 1994. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. That could be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. We're all over the web as well. We've got Awesome Movie Year on all the socials and awesomemovieyear.com. So please like us, subscribe, and if you do like us, give us a 5-star rating because we love you.
All right, so that does it for our conversation about Child's Play. You know, I still do think it's hilarious that Child's Play and Toy Story 4 came out on the same weekend. You're clever, Hollywood. You're very clever. You can check out that episode as well, which should be up by the time you are hearing this one. And, of course, you just heard the promo for Awesome Movie Year, which is now live. Wherever you're listening to Piecing It Together, you can find Awesome Movie Year. That is a new podcast that I am producing, which is hosted by Josh Bell and Jason Harris. And you'll also hear me on the show as well. I chime in a little here and there. But the introduction episode is up. And on July 3rd, the first episode will be up. And it's going to be a really fun show. We've already got the first few seasons planned out. It's going to be 12 episodes a season, plus possibly a couple bonus episodes here and there. And it's going to be a great show. So absolutely check it out. AwesomeMovieYear.com. Check them out on Facebook, Twitter, all that as well. And as a reminder, you can find Piecing It Together on Facebook and Twitter and all that. And you should be following us at Piecing Pod on Twitter, at Piecing Pod on Instagram, and Piecing It Together on Facebook. And of course, our Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces Facebook group. What else could you do? Oh, you know, we're on Patreon. Right now, all you can really get is a bunch of my music because, you know, I have albums out that are available for sale on iTunes and all that kind of stuff. But you can get the albums, you know, not for free because you're paying to, you know, support the show on Patreon, but they are they're included with your membership. So you can sign up for Patreon if you like and, you know, donate a little bit to the show. We will be starting to put some bonus content on there. I'm not 100% sure what that's going to look like yet, but we are planning it as I speak right now. Why do I always say we? I mean, it's really me who's planning it. Although I'm sure I'll rope some of these co-hosts into being a part of whatever that bonus content is. But there will be content on there coming soon. So if you want to support the show, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/piecingpod. Of course, links are in the show notes. You know, the other thing you can do to help support the show is rate and review us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And of course, share the show with your friends. We would really appreciate it if you did that. So that does it for today. And, you know, I think it's kind of required that for the outro piece of music that I play, I gotta play the piece of music that I did for a movie called Heidi, which is available on Amazon Prime to watch from director Daniel Rey. And it is a creepy doll movie. And I mean, I think I actually might have played it back when we did the Nun episode because of the whole Annabelle connection. I might have. I don't really remember. But I mean, how could I not play it during a Child's Play episode? So this is the theme from the movie Heidi, which is a small independent horror film that, like I said, you can watch on Amazon Prime. It is found footage, so there's not much music, but the music that is in the film is all done by me. And this is the main theme. And enjoy it, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together soon. Thank you.
and all points west.